friends and hello enemies. Thank you, all of you, for joining me here tonight in this place. Thank you for taking the time to spend time with me. Hopefully, your brother in the struggle. The struggle for our survival, the struggle for our expansion and advancement in this world. Kyle, I have solved the problem. It had taken me so long, I just had the auto login function on my computer for the Blog Talk Radio site, and I had refreshed my computer and it had wiped out everything, and I forgot not to use my email but to use the username you had given me. I remember the password, it was the username that I had fumbled with. So I must apologize for the confusion. But I have it in a very safe place now, so I will never lose it. But at any rate, again, thank you all for joining me tonight. It's been a long, hectic week. I'm sure you've all have fought, you've struggled, you know, trying to earn your pay, trying to make it another week, another month, another year. You have your goals, you have your stress, you have those things which you continue for, those things you live for, and we all need those things, those things that motivate us, those energy shots that aren't drinkable, those things that motivate us, things that are greater than what we can buy, status, things which erode, something better, something lasting, something that will echo through eternity, our blood. Even if some of us don't reproduce, fighting for our people to continuing. Most important thing in the world. I have I have an announcement to make. Next week, I will be breaking down. I hate to give a plug, but I had taken the 23andMe DNA sampling kit. I had bought one of those, and you spit in a tube quite ungracefully, and you send it off. And, well, it basically confirmed everything I had already known. So it was nice to have the confirmation, given the fact my mother was adopted. But she was from Germany, so there was always that question. But those questions have now been answered, and I am proud to report I have 0.0% Ashkenazi as an example, as a breakdown of everything. I am, according to the results, I don't have it open right now. It was like 80-something percent Northern European, 99.6% European. The rest is statistical outliers, obviously, where anything under 1% is pretty much a rounding error. Anything under 0.5%, rather, is a rounding error. And there's always the propaganda that we all came out of Africa, which I don't believe. But it was very cool to see my DNA mapped like that. A small portion, of course. They didn't map the whole genome, but they got the basics. So, but at any rate, I will give a complete breakdown next week. I just got the results not even 1 hour ago after I got home. So I'm hopping happy. jumping down almost. You can't hear it, but okay, I'm not hopping up and down. Literally, but I am very pleased, of course. So, tonight will be basically just a free-for-all, kind of a baby roundtable, if you will, a Thursday. Nothing really prepared. We've been working so hard lately at work, and I have other things that I do as well outside of work that take up my time. But I just couldn't help myself. I had to share it, and for those that have perhaps jokingly said I'm a crypto Jew, I will have the evidence disproving you. I will have the evidence disproving you printed out, and I will make a video on my channel. a video, yes, for the anti-racist. So at any rate, that's basically all I have on my mind as of right now. Yes, someone had reminded me, there is a video of the Antifa that had attacked a bunch of innocent individuals of our family who were just having a nice meeting, a nice lunch, celebrating their European ancestry. Well, I will post the link to the video. I'm getting to it right now. 30 or 40, it was so many of them. It was ridiculous. 30 or 40 of them burst onto the scene, and it just started using batons on these innocent people, clubbing them. And they were caught, but they were, of course, for the most part, let off with a slap on the wrist. And we all know why. Okay. About to post the video now. It's the American Renaissance Channel did us the courtesy of posting the video. I'm going to put it in the chat right now. Bam. There we go. So for those that would like to see the video, for those of you that can stomach it, it is going to be posted in chat right now. Well, of course, based upon the refresh, it did not allow me to do so. I have to log into the chat again. But basically, if you go to the American Renaissance channel on YouTube, it is the newest video, and it's called Anti-Racist Terrorism Caught on Video. It already has over 300 views. So we need to look at this. We need to observe this. This is the result not having our own countries. This is the result of us not being able to be with our own kind in peace. I've been called so many things since really getting in the movement, and now I'm up to my neck in the movement. And I don't say that in a bad way. I say that as a statement of fact. I'm up to my neck in the movement. And I find it troubling that I am called all these things, which in the end doesn't matter because they're only words, but we allow this scarlet letter of racist to have so much power over us. This is the result of also no attorneys for us, the result of no young men and women going to university, studying law, and fighting on our behalf explicitly. But I've been called so many times a supremacist, a white supremacist. First of all, I will answer that charge. Yes, I'm a white supremacist. Why? Because I believe my people are supreme. I love my people more than any others. I love the white children down the street, but my own children, which I will have someday, fate willing, I will love them more than any other children down the street, even if they are my family, my distant family, my racial family. We should select our own. We should choose our own. It's only healthy. It's only natural to be this way, to look this way at the world and those who occupy the world. But I've been called this so many times, and I will answer the charge again. I do believe my people are superior, just as the Groids and the Jews and the Mestizos and the Middle Easterners, just as all these groups, the Orientals, the Chinks, they all think they're superior. But ours is the only group which has produced consistent, quantifiable results over a long period of time. There wasn't just a brief flash in the pan of civilization and then the rest of it just kind of rotted away. It wasn't like that. It's still not like that. We still continue to excel, even though we are under pressure by the invaders. But to me, a supremacist is someone that wants to own other people. I do not want to own any slaves. I don't want to be around non-whites. I don't want to be around Groids or Jews or Chinks or Mestizos. I don't want to be around any of them. I can't stand their presence. Their presence is ingratiating to me. It is a knife in my back, a constant twisting knife in my back. I gain no pleasure from their presence. None. I get no pleasure from their cuisine. I get no pleasure from their odor. I get no pleasure from their attitudes or their nuanced cultural ways. I get nothing from them. I want nothing from them. They offer me nothing. And this leads into something I was kind of pondering earlier today. We should not apologize. Apology is weakness. Apology is vindication and support for those who are attacking us. We should not apologize for our views, ever. If I'm outed at my job, it's a very big possibility. People in this movement lose their jobs all the time. They get blacklisted. Fine. Let it happen. Will I be happy about it? No. But I've made preparations. I'll get another job. Big deal. But I will not shut up. I will not keep fighting. I will not. There are things in this life more important than money, than status, even my safety. I'm still going to talk out. I'm still going to speak out if Antifa threaten me. And that's the great thing about where I live, at least where I live currently, even in Babylon. I have the right to defend myself, and I will. I will, to the hilt, to the full. I will not allow anyone to compromise my safety, anyone. I will not allow any verbal threats, any implied threats, any physical threats, any acts of intimidation. All of them will be answered. Force for force, blow for blow, it will all be answered. I will not allow any of it to stand unanswered. I owe it to myself, my pride for myself as a white man, and I owe it to my ancestors who fought and died to bring me here, who fought and died to bring you here too, listener, friend. Is there anything dumber than an anti-white white? Well, I think there's one thing in this world dumber than an anti-white white. I'm stealing somebody's line here in this video. There is one thing, but one thing in this world dumber than an anti-white white. An anti-white white who is anti-male and a male. That is the dumbest thing on this planet. A feminist who hates his race. There is nothing more pathetic in this world, as far as I'm concerned, as that thing, which I have just spoken of. But we should never apologize. We should never give a mea culpa, because there is a power in being recalcitrant, power in being obstinate, in being stubborn, in being insubordinate, unmanageable. There is a power in this, and we need to capitalize on this power, even if it's a small personal victory. And a victory only we know of in our minds, in our hearts. We need to sally forth and totally utilize whatever means we have to resist. And if our victory is a small political one, even if only we and a handful of people know it, that's good. But a victory is a victory, and we should take whatever victories we can earn. Idea of apologizing for being European. This idea for apologizing for being men and women of the West. This idea of apologizing for wanting our race to survive, wanting blue eyes and blonde hair to survive. We should not apologize for it. We should not apologize for the things which make us unique, the things which make us Aryan. Though some of us are more Aryan than others, not all of us can have blonde hair. But that being said, we should fight for the ideal. We should fight for our people. Because the last white man, the last white child is counting on us. I don't want there to be a last white child or white man or white woman. I don't want there to be a last. I know that in the course of history, I know in the course of existence, everything has a beginning and an end. I believe I've mentioned this before, and this is nothing new under the sun. But I want us to have the longest winning streak possible. And if we are to die, if we're to go extinct, I want us to go with a bang. I want us to go with a fight. I want us to be recorded in history. If we go extinct, I don't believe we will anytime soon. I believe we will last the next 1,000 years, probably more. But it is the amount of our people that survive, that advance, that concerns me. I think we need more to survive. We need more, dare I say, genetic diversity within our own people to survive. We need all of our legacy to survive, not just a sliver. We need all of it so that there's a record of the vast swath of our beauty as a people. But I want us to be, if we do go extinct, if we are overcome by the non-white hordes, I want there to be a record. I want there to be a record that we fought to the end, that we didn't go down easily, that we didn't lay down and accept the fate they had written for us. I won't do it. I will not lay down. I will get married. I will have as many beautiful white children as possible. I will do everything in my power to further the 14 words. And I really don't know what I'm trying to say. I want us to last as long as possible, if that makes sense. Kind of a gearhead, so I'll use this stupid example. In the automotive world, the cars that are really remembered, cars and trucks, you know, that are remembered are the ones that are rugged. They can take a beating. They can go 300, 400, 500, 600,000 miles before they finally just die, before finally the engine won't turn anymore. I want that for us. I want us to prolong our winning streak as long as possible, because the reason Kyle is here, the reason I'm here, the reason all these hosts are here, the reason other people on other sites who are sincere, it's up to you and your mind to come together and have it all kind of coalesce and decide who really is sincere. I think it's fairly obvious who is sincere, who really has our people's best interest at heart, who really wants to fight for our people and not just stir up trouble. Not just troll. I mean, that's fun too. But that's not my main reason for being here. My main reason is to do the limited amount I can do as one individual with a limited amount of power to further the 14 words. so that we may continue. We may break a leg, but I'm here to help set it. I'm here to help clean our wounds as best I can, set the broken leg, bind it in a cast of some sort, give our people some crutches, and get us back in the game. Slap you on the back until you get back out there. We can do this, and we will. But our race needs, I need, we all need, we need more people in this struggle. And part of what that is about is people are overwhelmingly followers. I have discovered this. I'm a slow learner. I'm kind of stupid, I guess. I didn't really understand this until I was, well, way too old to finally understand this. But what people follow, they follow bravery. They follow leadership. They want that first person to step out there, take the hit, take the risk. And then when more people join a movement, when more people join a dogma, a philosophy, a way of thinking, it grows because of the inertia of the growth of membership. At first, you have one person, and they're just yelling to themselves almost. They don't think anyone's listening. And then another person likes what they hear, and they join them as a member of an audience, just sitting there listening, and then maybe after the diatribe is over, going and telling their people about it, their friends, their acquaintances. And then they bring others who are curious, who want to know more about it, who maybe are skeptical slightly. But they're here overwhelmingly, I think, because they want their minds changed. No one walks on a lot to buy a new car if they aren't thinking of buying. Even if they can't afford it, they're thinking of buying a car. Even if they know they're not going to buy that day, they're thinking of it. No one looks at houses thinking, oh, well, I can't afford them, but I'll look at them anyway. No one walks into a Ferrari dealer saying, let me just look at these cars. Let me just look at them. The kind of person that walks into a Ferrari dealer who can't afford a Ferrari, not as common as you might imagine. People grasp for things they overwhelmingly know are within their reach. It's disheartening to reach for something you know you'll never accomplish. And some people are miserable enough, and that's how they live. That makes them better, though, pushing their limitations, their boundaries. They're always attempting to improve at the expense of their pride, their ego, and having it broken constantly and bruised because they keep falling short from this lofty goal, this expectation they have placed upon themselves. But I think what is most important to remember is when people see bravery, they take note. Even if they don't agree with you at the time, they take note. What I'm really hoping that this enterprise here, this me being here, me spending time with you all, friends and enemies alike, and you spending time with me, the hope is that I will move you, is that I'll punch you in the heart, I'll punch you in the chest, and you'll feel something for the first time. You'll look upon your own people and feel a sense of family, a sense of belonging, a sense of togetherness, sense of love that you've never felt before. I want to give that to you. I want you to experience that because it's a great feeling, the feeling of community, even when you're all alone, you're physically alone. And believe me, I've known that feeling. I have. But to know the feeling of belonging, even when you're apart from your family, it's what helps you survive. It's what's helped me survive. Even though I'm not physically able to hug my brothers and sisters, all of you, even though I'm not able to sit down and, you know, drink some mead with you, or buy you mead more likely, because I don't really do the alcohol thing, there are others out there that understand. The fact that you know there are others out there who understand, others like Kyle, others like myself and the other hosts on Renegade and other networks as well. I'll leave it to you to be the judge of those you identify with more, those you trust more. And I'm not asking for your trust. I'm not asking for you to send me donations. I will never ask for money. I don't want anyone's money. I don't want you to follow me. I don't want to be a leader. I just want to wake people up. That's all I want. There is someone in the movement. Matt Heimbach. And he's talked a great game, but he hasn't lived it. He's not acting it. He has chosen his religion over his people. And so I leave it to you to decide, is that the kind of person you want to follow? If you want to follow someone, is that the kind of person you want to believe in? For me, I can only trust or believe in someone who's willing to put everything on the line, who's willing to put their neck out, who's willing to leap before looking, who's willing to be brave. Because their boldness makes me more bold. When I see the things that many in this movement do, these brave men and women, when I see the risks my brothers and sisters take, and to be clubbed by these Antifa animals, it makes me more brave. Because what is my suffering? What is what I'm going through compared to what they have gone through? What is what I have gone through compared to what our brothers and sisters, our ancestors in Europe have gone through, with the Turkish invasions, with the Mongols, Khan, Temujin Khan, Attila the Hun, Rome being sacked and burned, what they've gone through, and I look at what I go through, what pathetic little things I've had to go through, and it just makes me realize how inconsequential my inconveniences are. And that's what they are. They're inconveniences. I lose my job because of my views. It's an inconvenience. It's not something permanent. I'll find another job. I'm a hard worker. I have a 136 IQ. I'm diligent. I have glowing references. My boss wants me to practically live at work. That is the greatest ringing endorsement anyone can ever get, practically. So I'm doing a lot right, I think. But if the inevitable does happen, you think I'm going to pack up my bags and just disappear on you? You think I'm just going to quit the movement? You think I'm just going to stop believing what I believe? You think I'm just going to shut up? No, I'm not. I'm not. You're not going to get me to shut up. It's not going to happen. I look at the beautiful flowers in bloom, represented by the smiling faces of our sons and daughters, our children. Whether you have children or not is immaterial, but metaphorically speaking, our children. When you see a white child running around screaming, being a good kid or a bad kid, or laughing and or crying, or being quiet and a good kid, they're your kids too. You may not be raising them, but they're your children as well. We need to take ownership of our children. If we don't have biological, genetic as in direct descendants from our sperm and ovum. If we don't have direct descendants, we should at least be that really cool uncle. We should at least be that really, really cool aunt. I don't really know what I'm trying to say. I'm really wound up. I'm really excited. And I'm not willing to quit. And I'm not going to. There's nothing anyone can say or do that will get me to stop. There's no bribe. There's no threat. There's no loss that I can incur that will get me to shut up. It's not going to happen. So.
I think I have rambled enough for a mini call-in roundtable show. I kind of thrown that under the bus. We do have a caller who has been very patient on hold for 20 minutes. Area code 240, I believe. Tom Bowie in La Plata, Maryland with the Frogs.
Yes, sir. The crickets are chirping, but the frogs haven't come out yet.
Well, they're not hungry enough for the crickets, but they'll be there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Good evening, brother. How are you tonight, sir?
Fine, thank you, sir. And
excellent.
I'm glad to... You sound a little more rested and in better spirits.
Yes, sir. It's a wonder what sleep can do. Sunday I slept 16 hours the whole day. I'd wake up, I would eat, and I would go back to bed. I'd wake up, I'd take a shower, go back to bed. It was exactly what I needed. So I think my body's trying to tell me something. I need consistent sleep.
Yes. My body occasionally tells me things, and when I ignore it, it lets me know who's in charge at times.
Yes. Nature has directing your body, yes, directing my body as well.
Well, I hear you talking. I, like you, know that our race is going to pull through.
Yes.
And without our race, there wouldn't be any real history.
No, there wouldn't.
Because they wouldn't keep up the books. Everything would go down. There'd be some scrawlings and legends, but nothing of importance. Only our race looks for an objective truth.
We always have. As a general rule, I think that's the greatest part of our race. It's that's the storyline that continues. It's the pursuit of truth in the form of empiricism, science, advancement. At first it was pagan beliefs, and then it was a Catholic Christian beliefs, theology, and then it just logic with the ancient Greeks, and on and on and on. It went philosophy. It just went on and on and on and on, and it's been hit or miss, but we've always sincerely tried to seek the truth, wherever it may lead.
Yes, well, we look at the good and the bad equally. Sometimes I think we dwell too much on the bad.
Yes, and I've been guilty of that, and I'm going to try to make that change now. Old habits die hard, but I'm trying to become more of an optimist. I need it.
Well, that's something our race has been more guilty of than anything else, dwelling on our mistakes.
Yes, because they're done. There's no reason to dwell on them. To learn from them, yes, but to just beat ourselves up over them, that serves no one any... It doesn't do any good. It just doesn't.
I do slightly disagree with you on one point.
Yes, sir. I'm more than happy to listen. Go ahead.
Well, when the earthquakes hit Japan or hit Haiti, there's always some non-white who believes that white people are responsible.
Oh, but of
and
course,
usually
they believe
a few in
real.
Power.
Yes.
Some of their best
or
and brightest, so
the lines
to say.
They, yes, or they're parroting the lines they're supposed to say that they know the people want to hear, the masses, the unwashed masses, they want them to hear. That could be it as well.
So that probably makes them a non-whites a greater white supremacist than whites could ever be.
I like that angle. I think we should keep that. That's a great idea. I like to think of it this way. I've heard it described. I don't know where I heard it, but I've heard it several times, but I'm stealing it without attribution, so forgive me. But if we're so evil, why do they chase us? If we're so bad, why do they come to Europe? Why do they come to America, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, South Africa? Why do they come to where we are if we're so evil, if we're so racist? Why do they chase our sons and daughters sexually? Why do they try to conquer them in that manner? Why do they try to dress like them, wear Western clothes? Why do they try to speak our languages? Why do they use our technology? Why do they drive our automobiles, our trucks, our cars? Why? They can't do it. There's emulators. All of them, more some races more than others, but all races are emulating the white race. Some pull it off more convincingly than others. Jews come to mind in regards to slightly more convincing than the others because the admixture and whatnot. But that being said, the automobile, that is ours. The motorcycle, that is ours. All of the Industrial Revolution, that is all Western. The digital age, that is Western. The Internet, that's Western. It's overwhelmingly Western. The printing press by Gutenberg, Western. Standardized education, that's Western. Philosophy, at least as far as we search for an objective truth and not something overly spiritual, like Zen Buddhism, for example, which I think is a bunch of fluff, Western. But they're all riding on our coattails, and they complain that the spots on the coattails that they're stepping on are dirty. They have the gall to complain the coattails are dirty when they're the ones stepping on them. Just the gall, the arrogance. It's ridiculous. So I apologize for nothing. You, Tom Bowie in La Plata, Maryland, should apologize for nothing. Your frogs in the background should apologize for nothing. We should apologize for nothing to anyone. We should give nothing to anyone. We have nothing to apologize for. Nothing. Not the expansion of the West in terms of the Wild West expanding from the eastern seaboard all the way over to the Pacific coast in California and the Pacific Northwest. We have nothing to apologize for. We should not apologize to anyone for slavery, for anything, because guess what? I didn't do it. You didn't do it. Fuck you if you don't like it. That simple. And even if we did do it, it doesn't fucking matter, because might is right. Nature will find a way. Man will expand. Every race has raped and killed and pillaged every other race, every single one of them. No one's hands are clean. No one. No one. So they can take their white guilt and they can shove it straight where the sun doesn't shine, because I don't want to freaking hear it. I'm going to shove it right in their face, what their ancestors did. Because I've done reading, unlike most of these fuckers out here. I have an answer to all these assholes. I have a ready historical response for the Asians, for the Native American savages. I have a ready-made response for the Jews. I have a ready-made response for the Africans, the Middle Easterners. I have a ready-made response for the mestizos. I have a ready-made response for all of them, every single one of them, and not just one. I have several. I've done many, many – I've done so many – I've spent so many sleepless nights ruminating over what I would say if something was said to me. So many nights. And I'm sick. I have not apologized for years, but I'm sick of hearing other whites apologize. I'm sick of it. Don't apologize, please. Do not apologize. You have nothing to apologize for. They should apologize to you, to me, for being in our lands, for affronting us, for affronting the world we have built. I'm not saying we're gods. We're not gods. I don't believe in that nonsense. But what I do believe is it's like the story of Prometheus. We had fire, and it was stolen from us, or we gave it, rather, more appropriately. We have the goodness of our heart, we gave it. We gave agricultural technology, standardization of farming, standardization of parts, the Industrial Revolution, modern metallurgy, rocketry, modern mathematics. We gave pretty much all of this crap to the rest of the world out of the goodness of our hearts. And what do we get in return? We get them demanding to live in our lands, to rape our women, to murder our sons. They demand everything. They've had their hand out, and they're crossing the border, and they demand. They ride on these freaking trains, and they demand to be put up. They demand to be fed on our dollar, on our taxes. They demand to have spots in the place of our sons and daughters in universities, in jobs, in higher positions. It's not even a meritocracy anymore. It used to be a meritocracy. It's not even a meritocracy now. It's a racial spoil system, and now you have a tyranny of the minority taking over the majority, who is silent, who is dumb and silent, because they want to be, because they're watching the electronic shoe every night, which tells them to shut up, to just keep flicking through channels, to play their Xbox, to watch their pornography, to sleep with an anonymous partner every single weekend, to get drunk, to do their drugs, to do their marijuana where it's legal, and even where it's illegal. It's all a distraction. It's all a distraction, and we need to put aside the distractions and focus on what matters, our own people and our survival. We need to be even more vicious, even more callous versus the non-whites, because they will not be kind to us. No, they will give us no quarter. They will give us no sanctuary. They will give us no – they will do nothing for us. So why should we offer them anything while we have the upper hand, if we have any upper hand at all left? We should fight and strive to preserve what we have, and to expand, and to bust out of the little jar we're currently in. And we are in a jar. We're being observed. Ha-ha, the joke, I know. But we're being observed by the enemy. The enemy is watching us, and the more we give them, the more they hate us, the more they despise us. So why should we earn even more of their hatred? And we should, if we're going to earn their hatred, we should really freaking earn it. We should make them earn our hatred. We absolutely should earn their hatred through pushing them out. They complain about racism now. We should show them what racism really is. We should show them what ethnocentrism, Eurocentrism really looks like. We should have freaking armies marching in the streets like in the Third Reich all over again. We should unite. We should stop this shit. We should look to Golden Dawn as the modern example that we should all follow. Because if we do not, our numbers will continue to dwindle and will be ripe for the picking. We will be at their mercy, and I don't want that. I think we deserve better. And we will get better, but I want us to survive. I want more of us to survive, other than just a handful somewhere, a little here, a little there. I want us to survive in grand numbers so the best of us may go to the stars and get off this rock. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What we've always been generous, even with the way we phrase things.
Yes, unnecessarily. We should be blunt, absolutely blunt.
The phrase that comes to mind is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We should have not said that. We should have had a Eurocentric phrase. It should have been one small step for Europe, one giant leap for the white race. It should have been something like that. That is what it should have been, because it was white minds that put that rocket in the air. It was the Western man who envisioned the first rockets. Who was it? It was Leonardo da Vinci who was the first to come up with the idea of a pressurized system to get a tube in the air. He was the first to really put that to practice. And we had the Chinese, which had gunpowder before us. Yes, they did. I will admit that. The Chinese had gunpowder before us, but they were only mere toys. It was the West that weaponized it, that allowed the whole rocket age to occur. And then, of course, the liquefaction of oxygen, using liquid oxygen as fuel. It's amazing that Wernher von Braun and others like him, other pioneers like him, did so much with so little. They had no computers to really work with. They had hand calculators. They had abacuses, slide rules. They had paper that they worked on. They had draftsman tools. And they had trigonometry, calculus. They had basically... They had hardly any assistance whatsoever. We take it for granted now. it's so difficult to compute numbers in my head because I've been spoiled by calculators my entire life. But these were better men. These were better men than you and I. These were superior men in many respects because they had to do it with less. And I believe once we have the luxury stripped away from us, once there are no longer any calculators, we will be forced to rise to the occasion. When we do, our rockets will be even larger. They will be even grander. They will be even louder. And when they are ignite, it will be even hotter. And no one will be able to even look on them when we rise again in glory. That's what's going to happen. But I want more of us to survive, which is why I care so much. I know we will survive, but I want more of us to survive, not just a tiny handful of racially aware European people.
Yes, I believe, like I've heard before, that we will at some point leave this earth and go to a new place.
Yes.
And at some point, that won't satisfy us. And we'll decide,
yes,
we want a better world. Let's build it from the ground up, literally.
I know exactly what you're referring to, sir. I know quite exactly what you're referring to. I believe we will return eventually. Those of us that leave will return, not the direct, immediate people that left. I believe we will construct intergenerational starships. We will find habitable worlds, if not one. Maybe we'll just live on the intergenerational starship, and then we'll build more ships, and then we will return and reclaim what is ours, Europe. At the very least, Europe, if we're kicked off this planet. But we will survive. The only question is what capacity and in what numbers we will survive. So long as we survive, that is the main thing, but I want us to survive in glory. I want us to be feared again. I want the white race to be feared again. That is what I live for, more than anything, almost more than our survival. The second thing I live for is for us to be feared again. I want the enemy to tremble when they think about crossing us. Right now, they don't have that. If we brought that back, our problems would be solved in a month. A month, we would have Europe clean. In a month, we would have America, Canada clean. In a month, we would have Australia clean, New Zealand clean. We would have them clean. They would be ours again, entirely. Russia would be clean if they feared us again. But they do not fear us. They must fear us again. So we must act politically. We must act demographically and have as many white children as possible.
There was a high official in China a few years ago that expressed the concern that when Americans, and by the way he said it, he was only talking about whites, decided they had had enough, they would go through the Mexicans in a week and the blacks in a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that they should be worried what they do with all of that leftover energy.
Mm. Some rare wisdom from the East. Some very rare wisdom from the East. At least someone has eyes in their head and they're able to observe. Yes, I think the problem is it's willpower. We haven't gotten angry enough. I want us to get more angry. I desire it. If everyone were as angry as I were, we would not have this problem anymore. We wouldn't. If everyone was as angry and as motivated as I feel right now, because we have to preserve our people. We have to. We do not fight to preserve our people. The enemy will not see to give us the courtesy to preserve our people. They won't. They won't give us the consolation prize of survival. We need to understand this. All the white men and women out there that are fertile, that are of eligible child-bearing years, child-rearing years, you need to understand this. We need more children. We need more children. It's that simple. Keep saying it to yourself. We need more children. Forgo the Corvette. Forgo the Chevelle. Forgo the 12-bedroom house. Forgo the status. Forgo the new clothes every 6 months. Think of something greater than yourself. Please. Please. Do your duty. It is your duty to reproduce. It is your duty. Your ancestors had no problem doing their duty. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. That's why Tom. That's why you're here. That's why everyone's here. because they did their duty. They saw something that needed to be done, even if it was an accident, quote-unquote an accident, and someone got pregnant by accident. They decided to keep you. They elected to keep you. They did their duty. They stood up for you before you were even born. Do you realize how important that is, how powerful that is, how beautiful that is? I do. I was not born under the best of circumstances. Let me tell you, I will not go into details, but I was not born under the best of circumstances. But I'm here, and that's all that matters. So now that I'm here, I can do something for my people, and that's what I'm going to do. That's what I live to do.
Yes, you've it's a powerful force when our nature is to make the world a better place. And when you understand racial reality and combine the two.
Yes.
Even at our worst, we benefit the world greatly. While we're guilty of no unique sins, we
That's
are...
That's what we say, yes. No unique sins. Thank you, Tom. Freaking awesome. Yes, thank you. I'm adding that to my freaking rebuttal list. Thank you. Go on, I'm sorry.
We have given the world unique gifts. The cure for polio, science, technology, a standard of living that no others could dream of.
Yes.
We've almost eliminated starvation itself from the world with such a small population as we have.
That doesn't stop the groids. Please send for only 38 cents a day. You too can feed a starving African so they can have 12 starving African babies in 5 years. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. Do not feed the Africans. Libertarian Realist has an awesome video. It's called Do Not Feed the Africans. Do not feed the Africans. I love that video.
I see where the Africa is going to go. Once the Western world is no longer able to or willing to feed them, that's going to be a very desolate and lonely continent.
You know, the local fauna, the local megafauna in particular, elephants, lions, they're all going to be hunted to extinction. Mark my words, it's going to happen. The lions, the rhinos, they're all going to be hunted to extinction. In the chaos. There'll be no one thinking of preservation, and I don't really care about it. I mean, it sucks if lions are going to be extinct, sucks if elephants and rhinos are going to be extinct, but it is an inevitability of the Dark Continent.
I don't know. Those intelligent, the animals there may not be able to pass an IQ test, but I think they might have some of the many of those species that are more intelligent than their hunters.
Interesting take.
The IQ that we measure is just what we know. It doesn't really measure cunning that you see in animals.
Yeah, that's like being wicked cunning, right? Wicked cunning?
Yes. And there's even some studies that, Coco the gorilla had a...
You mean Michelle Obama?
No.
I'm sorry.
This is a smarter ape.
Okay.
At his IQ test that he took, because he had learned some human language by sign language... depending on whether he was in a cooperative mood, when he was feeling cooperative, he could test at up to 100.
You know, that says it all now, doesn't it? It really does. Oh, they always interrupt the show at the worst time, don't they?
Yes. They were showing that they didn't have that 100. also, their gentleness is their only flaw. If they were savage, as most people think, they'd probably be ruling that continent.
You know, I think Africa would be better off if that were the case, because apes don't, they can't really use guns, so.
Yes. And 100 IQ doesn't hurt either. But I think some of the fauna in Africa will definitely survive. I think the dying off will come so quickly also that it'll have a much greater chance of survival. The first thing they turn on won't be the animals. That's too much like work. The first thing they turn on will be each other. They're already in that habit.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I think that as much as I lambast the primates, they do have an intelligence, certainly. It's interesting. It's just really interesting that the only pure group, the only group on this planet, the only racial group on this planet that naturally has no Neanderthal DNA is the sub-Saharan African. And those who have the most Neanderthal DNA are Europeans. Now, I don't know if that average of 2 to 3% of Neanderthal DNA accumulated over however many thousands and thousands of years. I don't know if that's the difference that separates us, or one of the differences which separates us from the sub-Saharan in particular, in terms of achievement and ability. But I think it's interesting. I mean, correlation obviously doesn't equal causation, but it's telling that every race has a civilization. They build monuments, maybe basic civilizations, basic monuments. So they build these monuments. They have a written language. They have the wheel, overwhelmingly. But you go to sub-Saharan Africa, they didn't have this. They didn't have this. And it's telling. They had no sails. They didn't understand boats. They didn't understand. They had nothing. They were literally living as human animals until we came by. The worst thing we ever did was interfere with Africa. We should have just left it alone. We should have took a peek in there, saw how crazy it was, and just turned around. That's what we should have done. But the genie's out of the bottle, the cat's out of the bag. But if I had my choice, I would have picked my own cotton. I don't support slavery. I don't support the concept of slavery. That's about as multicultural and pro-non-white as I'm ever going to get. I don't want any slaves of any color, any race. I just want them away from me. I want the non-whites away from me and my kind. I don't want to have to raise my children in Brazil. I don't want to have to raise them in New York, some cesspool, some multicultural cesspool. I don't want to have to raise them in Babylon or Los Angeles. I don't want to have to raise them like that. I shouldn't have to raise them like that. This was a country founded by whites for whites. It should stay such. And if we don't do something about it, it won't be for much longer. But I think we're about fed up. I think we're getting close to being so fed up. I think if the idiot in chief passes amnesty for these illegals, which are streaming across the border by the minute, if he does, I think it's going to get ugly. I think it's really going to get ugly. At the very least, impeachment. At the very least. I think people are going to be so hopping mad. Even the Groids are getting upset. And you know it's bad when the Groids actually care about politics, other than gives me that and they want a handout. So this is my thought on the matter. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Well, I think you're at least partially right. I think it'll move us at the very least a step closer.
Mm-hmm.
And what will be the turning point? And I've seen a few indications that that's breaking, that the words like racist no longer hold sway.
They've overused it. It's weak
yes.
now. We're inoculated to it. I wish they would say racist more. That's what I wish, because we become more resistant to it.
Oh, they will.
Oh, it's going to get worse. I know. I welcome it. Call me a racist. Call me a supremacist. Keep it up. Please, keep it up. It makes my job easier. It makes the job of every self-respecting white man and woman on this planet easier. The job of survival makes our job much, much easier.
When you see an article that's intended to be serious,
mm-hmm.
ranting about the racism in Thomas the Train.
Yes, I had heard about that. I heard about that through the grapevine, yes. Because you know those trains are so racist.
And sexist, too.
Oh, let's not forget that. I had thought maybe that was going to play into it as well. They can't leave that alone either, can they?
Yes.
Idiot.
Those are true believers. And for the true believers, no absurdity is far enough.
It's a faith for them. It's a religion for them. You can't disprove it because these are articles of faith for them. They'll believe it no matter what. They'll believe it until the end. They're idiots. There's no curing them.
Yes. It shares the one thing that all religions share, which is if
mm-hmm.
we hold these words to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's something at the end of that, depending on the religion. But they hold those words to be true more than the reality they see right in front of them.
Correct.
They're like Dorothy clicking her heels together.
There's no and place like home.
There's no place like home. All she needed was absolute faith.
Absolutely.
And anything that's wrong must be because they lacked absolute faith.
Oh, if only you believed more. If only you believed more, then that would have made the difference. Yeah. Silliness.
Yeah. I don't think belief has a whole lot to do with it. Other than that we need to believe in ourselves by understanding the true nature of things, the real history, the real accomplishments of our people.
Yes. The embracing of reality.
That's a very factual and objective type of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
There's no accidents in it or illusions. The great civilizations of Rome and Greece, those weren't illusions. As a matter of
mm-hmm.
fact, they were so real that some of the roads of Rome are still usable today.
Yes. As is the one of the aqueducts is still used. It's over 2,000 years old, and they still use it for its original purpose. It still works.
Yeah, that's as real as it gets.
I agree. I totally agree.
And they were working with all natural material and working
mm-hmm.
with it in a way to build for the future. And as we separate ourselves from this illusion, this political correctness they've cast for us, we'll start
mm-hmm.
reverting to that. We won't be making clothes to wear for a season before they become unfashionable. We'll be making them to wear for years.
Yes.
Our tools, our equipment, everything will be designed for the future.
As it should be.
And everybody will be like passing, well, for tools, they'll pass them down. The simple, most basic tools will probably survive generations of use.
I like things that last. I like things that are passed down. They're interesting to me.
If you look what the early frontiersmen made in hand forges, some of those tools are still being used today.
Outstanding.
And I just wanted to let you know, like you, I'm dedicated to doing the little I can
mm-hmm.
to help push this around. And in just the past few years, I've seen quite a bit of change. Some faster than others, but it's something that's going on. And while a lot of people haven't spoken out yet, out of fear,
mm-hmm.
one reason or another, when I speak my message to them, the receptiveness has gone from accepting to eagerly accepting.
Yes.
So it's all a matter, I think a large part of it is to help them figure out not only are they not alone, but they are the majority.
Yes. I think the main thing holding us back is the fact we don't realize our ability, our power. We're pulling our punches.
Yes. And, well, I keep using the analogy of the lion tamer in the cage. When the lions figure out that, whoa, wait a minute, we're the ones with all the power. The lion tamer is suddenly having a very bad day.
Yes. Yes. I like that.
And they don't even have to eat the lion tamer. They can
mm-hmm.
just walk off. If they happen to be on a leash, they drag him behind. He'll let go at some point, perhaps when they start going down the steps.
If he's lucky. You know what happened with Siegfried and Roy, but they had a tiger, but still a large cat. Face got mauled on one of them, his neck or whatever, and he died from his injuries like a year or two later, something like that. It just eventually wore down his health. You got to be careful. You got to be careful and know your limitations.
Yeah, tigers have never truly been tamed. And you
mm-hmm.
can only fool them for so long. In this case, I believe it's appropriate because it was a white tiger.
Yes, very rare.
Well, I have to I have a little stuff to go do. I just wanted to call in and spend a little time with you. And
thank you
for what you're doing, sir.
Well, thank you for calling in, Tom. It's always a pleasure, sir. I will let you go then, and you have yourself a great one, and wish the frogs well as well.
I'll let them know. Good night, sir.
Good night,
thank you.
All right, code 252, you just called in. I can assume that this is Alex from Michigan. Two, you're on the air.
Hey, Observer, how's it going?
Excellent. To whom do I have the pleasure of speaking tonight?
My name's John.
Pleasure to meet you, John.
I was just calling in to listen. I listened to about the first 20 minutes of the show, and I was just calling back in. I'm actually working on a few things here out of the house, and was just going to listen in if that's okay.
No, that's not a problem at all. Not a problem at all. Just do what you got to do, and if my voice and the voice of the other callers can keep you company while you do it, that's all the better.
That's awesome. If I want to talk, I'll press 1.
Okay.
But I appreciate what you do. I really do.
Yes. It's not just me. It's Kyle. It's the other members on the network. It's everyone and anyone pro-white world.
I listen to all the shows on the network. I actually do.
Outstanding.
I appreciate everyone's shows. I've actually only ever on air to one other host, and that was Dana. But I do enjoy listening. I try to listen to as many shows as I can get to. I know you just actually, I caught the tail end of it. I actually heard you hang up with Tom. I actually enjoy Tom as much as any caller I've ever heard.
Tom is awesome. He's
Tom
awesome.
He is great.
He brings a lot of wisdom.
Go ahead.
He just brings a lot of wisdom, quite obviously. It's always a pleasure to have him on the line, especially during the roundtable, because he'll throw in a thought or two, and then I'll get everyone to really start thinking, and it'll start a discussion, and it'll kind of steer it in a different direction, which is what the entire roundtable concept is about. So, very, very cool.
He has a way of pushing the envelope and bringing some things up for conversation, and he'll back away when he's ready, and everybody can discuss it. And I really appreciate Tom for calling in. I know that I know that most people who listen to Renegade enjoy when they hear Tom Bowie call in, and he brings a lot of. Like you said, he brings a lot of intelligence. He brings a lot of experience. He's been doing this a long time. And he brings a humor side of things into the conversation, and that's always appreciated. It's what we're talking about and what our movement is about is very serious at times, but sometimes we do need to be able to laugh about it.
Absolutely.
And Tom has a great way of bringing humor into it. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate him always bringing the frogs.
Yes, absolutely.
But if you will, you can just put me back on hold. I'm going to listen here while I'm working. If I want to talk, I'll just press 1.
10-4. Okay, not a problem, sir. It's always a pleasure. Just call in whenever you like. Let me put you on mute. For those who would like to call in, it's area code 347-633-9657. Don't be shy. Don't hesitate to call in. That is part of why I'm doing this, so we can have a nice discussion here, you and I. And again, that phone number, area code 347-633-9657. So what are your thoughts? Let me go to the chat and see if anyone has any ideas here of something they'd like to discuss. Well then, I think time for us to do that thing again. Time for us to head on over to American Renaissance. I'm Jared Taylor. I advocate for white people. Let's see what we have on American Renaissance, shall we? Certainly something about the illegal alien problem. U.S. Oh, here's the nice one. I'll link to the story. Poor families use, quote, super vouchers to rent in city's priciest buildings. This is Chicago, also known as Chicago. It says poor families get generous federal handouts to live in, quote, opportunity areas. What I want to know is why must the taxpayers' dollars be used to make others live a more luxurious lifestyle? Why can I not get a handout for, let's say, I want a Porsche. I want the opportunity to own a new Porsche. I don't understand why I cannot have my Porsche. I want a Ferrari. I just don't understand it. I do not understand. I don't understand it. Doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But what do I know? And that's what they do. They send them to our places and our little areas, and they think they're doing some great, great service for the country, for the world, but they're not. All they're doing is breeding more resentment. At least as far as I'm concerned, they're breeding more resentment. And I resent it. But there are, heard said, there are nice little enclaves that still exist, and we need to preserve those. We should preserve those, of course. We need our own living space, our own areas where we can feel safe, where we can be ourselves culturally, racially, spiritually, emotionally, physically, in every possible way. We need that. We deserve that. Every living thing needs breathing room, needs its own segregated space where they can be themselves. And that's what the enemy wants to do. They want to take that away. They want to take one of the last things we still have away. They would, if pride, if racial pride were a physical possession, such as a shirt you wear, the enemy would attempt to take it. They would attempt to steal it from every European, every white person on the planet. They can't take our pride away. They can't. You can surrender it, but they can't pride away. Not unless you want to give it to them. Not unless you want to surrender it to them. And of course, we shouldn't. We should fight until the end. We should resist them until the end. We should resent what they're doing to the end. It's going to be them or us, either way. I believe that. I honestly do. I don't see any other way. I don't see any other way of it ending. There's always the amicable racial divorce idea, which I support. That's my primary desire, an amicable racial divorce where all the parties involved say, you know what, this ain't working out. Let's go our own ways. And you have the Europeans that want to be with their own kind, go where they want to be, and you have the mestizos, stay there with themselves. You have the Jews, they go to Israel. You have the Negroes, they stay with themselves. And you have those that want to live the multicultural Brazil, multicult shit life, and they can live that, but away from me, because I want nothing to do with them. I want nothing to do with them. I resent them. I absolutely loathe them. I loathe their presence. I loathe hearing them speak in my presence. I loathe having to see them. It's gotten that bad. If I could pay extra money in taxes so that I never had to see, hear, or have anything to do with them ever again, I would. But even I can't do that with my tax money. I can't have my own little area because they want to steal it. They want to take it away from us. They want to diversify it, which of course means fewer white people, less white people. It means their disgusting children going to the same schools as our white children. Now, I won't stand for it. When I have kids, when I have children, fate willing, they're all going to be homeschooled, all of them. And if they try outlawing homeschooling, there's going to be a revolution in this country because people are about fed up. Not just us, our kind, white people. I'm talking about, I think most people are fed up with the overreaching nature of today's government. Government is no longer serving the people. It is ruling over them. It is lording over them like we are subjects, not citizens. I am a citizen. I despise what this country is doing, but I am still a citizen of it. For the time being, at least, I am a citizen of the United States. And for the time being, I still have certain rights. Oh, but you might say, the government laughs at your rights, spies on your phone calls, as it tracks your emails, as it does this, that, and the other thing, as there are cameras put up in every intersection as an excuse for safety, but in reality it's to track you, as little black boxes are put in every new car in production in America. I know. But I will take the vestige of what we have, and I will use it to protect myself as much as I am able. Because I have no choice. I'm not going to sit by and shut up. I'm not going to be silent. I'm not. I won't. I owe it to my children who aren't born yet. I owe it to my wife who I have not married yet. I owe it to my ancestors. I owe it to my grandchildren and great-grandchildren who don't exist yet. I owe it to every one of you, every brother and sister racially that is listening, that will listen. I owe it to you to speak. And may I be so bold as to say that you owe it to yourself. You owe it to me. You owe it to your ancestors. You owe it to your children. You owe it to your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. You owe it to all of them to also, in the capacity you're able, to also speak. I don't want you to be silent. I don't want any of you to be silent. I don't want any of us to be silent. I want all of us to speak out, to say something. 517, you've been on hold for almost 6 minutes. You are on the air.
Hello, it's Jared Taylor. I'm tired of you talking crap about me and mocking me on the air. I'm going to come over there and kick your ass.
Why is it that when white people try to get together, someone wants to start a fight?
I sound nothing like that. Oh,
shit.
This is I just had to throw that in there. This is Alex,
yes,
in Michigan. I've listened to this network for a while. I've only ever called into a couple shows in the past. I just thought this would be kind of fun to throw in. I've adopted a tactic over the last couple of years when dealing with people such as, you know, radical feminists, super leftists. I invested $2 in a cheap Star of David necklace, and now...
Wow, world-class trolling. Oh,
no.
I already know where this is going. I'm going to shut up. Go on, please. Go. Go ahead. Say it.
The situation happened a couple weeks ago. Now I keep it tucked away and hidden. I'm eating at this little dinery type place with a friend of mine, and a couple booths over, there's this fat, stereotypical bull dyke sitting there, and she's just apparently listening in to the conversation that me and my friend are having, and we start cracking like a few jokes she doesn't like. I can't remember what we said, but you could think of anything these people don't like to hear. They're quote, they get quote-unquote triggered, et cetera, et cetera. And she starts getting flustered. She gets up, excuse me. She'll be saying things like that. That's not appropriate discussion. And we do the typical spiel, right? We're like, okay, you need to just calm down, stop listening to other people's conversations. We're, you know, we're not being super loud or anything. You're just listening in. And she's like, I won't tolerate this. I won't stand for this. She starts getting louder and as she walks over, and it's time to turn into Jew mode. So I pull out the Star of David necklace, get it ready, and stand up. And I'm like, and I go on some ridiculous Jewy spiel. How dare you? How dare you? I'm a gay Jew, and my ancestors die in Auschwitz.
In the Holocaust.
So that they didn't die in Auschwitz so that Nazi fascists like you could dictate to people what they're allowed to discuss in public in a restaurant. Oh, it's awful. You're an awful human being. You're just another evil Nazi. You're a bigot, and you want to control people. You're worse than the government. Oh, stay away from me. And she tried a little harder, the typical stuff, blah, 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 privilege, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm gay and Jewish. You're more privileged than me, you stupid white woman. Oh, you're a white woman. You're more privileged than I am as a Jew and a gay man. How dare you? How dare you? And the cherry on top at the end was that everyone was focused on her at the end, looking at her like she's crazy. That was the cherry on top to the whole thing. And she kind of just hunkered down, ate and left, and we were still there sitting there for a while. And you could see people doing sighs of relief as she left, because the people around us weren't really paying attention until she started yelling. So I'm assuming a lot of other people eating there probably thought that, you know, she was making remarks to us. And saying anti-Semitic things and racist things to us. Ooh. So that's what people were probably thinking, and she left in a huff. And I advise everybody do this. It's helped me on a couple different occasions so far. And you never know when it might come in handy. Just a couple dollars.
I'm tempted to do that.
Get yourself
I have my 23andMe results, and it shows 0.0% Ashkenazi. So I'll definitely do that, and anytime anyone questions my ancestry, I'll just whip out those results, and I'll wear the Star of David at the same time, and their head will explode.
Especially when it comes to the work environment and the job place, keep that on you. I've been in a couple different situations before where maybe could have gotten fired, could have gotten written up or something, but I avoided it because I had that, I overheard him, you know, kind of making remarks about Israel under his breath, and he's had it out for me for a while. Situation completely gets slipped under the rug, never heard of again, every time.
Mm-hmm.
The two times that that's happened in the workplace.
Because we know who runs the system. We know who runs the system. It's the Jews.
Yeah.
That's why it's able to happen.
So they make up some bullshit. Oh, you know, he he said this, or, oh, he was looking at me this way, and he's an evil white racist. Nope. Well, get called to management. Whip out the Star of David necklace. You're golden. Oh, well.
Okay.
You know, well. You know, Tyrone and Achmed had been saying things about, you know, Israel under their breath lately, and talking in weird ways, and I just didn't really think anything of it. I think they, you know, might be anti-Semites. You know, I don't know, man.
And the Oscar goes to Madden, Michigan.
I'm Alex in Michigan.
Alex in Michigan. I'm horrible with names. I'm horrible. I'm tired. Alex in Michigan. Alex
That's
in Michigan.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm so tempted. I think I'm going to go to eBay after this and buy me a cheap little tin Star of David to wrap around my neck.
It's the white man get out of jail free card.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Or if you want to spice it up and go with something different and get like a crescent and get a Quran and say you converted to Islam, you know, play that card.
All the while when I eat bacon lunch,
there's
questioning me.
Because I learned early in college, there's no reason to play by their rules, play the straight and narrow when it comes to things like this. This is our lives, our livelihood, our future. So I'm going to play whatever I can to get ahead that'll benefit me, my family, and us in general. So
yes,
why
absolutely.
Not? And it's a lot more fun. It's a lot more fun than going head on, because it's not like they're going to listen to you anyway. They're going to scream Nazi at you anyway, so you might as well go at them from their perspective and screw with their heads.
I think that idea is absolutely brilliant.
I remember, absolutely brilliant. Yeah, I remember back in my second year of college, I was walking by some sort of Afrocentrist type meeting being held outdoors, and they were kind of going off on white people when I'm walking by them, and I was going to continue to walk by, but something in me just said no, and I turn around and I start talking to them, and I'm like, you know, you shouldn't talk that way about white people like that, because we're all human beings and African is just a social construct.
Oh!
Well, it's just a social construct. You know, you shouldn't be doing this. And then they get, you know, start chimping out, having their usual attacks, blah, 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 systematic racism, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're living in the past, and you're sounding like, you know, Republican redneck Nazis. Guys, you need to stop this. We all bleed red. There is no such thing as African. Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot more fun to play it that way, and I think it works a lot better. Just let them eat themselves from within, because the current Marxist ultra-liberal paradigm they live in is going to eat itself alive eventually anyway, so we might as well speed up the process. And no matter what you do, no matter what you say, if you have anything that doesn't toe the line, that you're an evil Nazi anyway, so they're not going to listen to you, so throw reason out the door. Just attack them from their perspective.
Yeah. That's the way to do it, man.
Yeah, I've taken part in multiple trolling operations with tons of different accounts on Twitter and Reddit and all sorts of sites where we get our fake profiles and we get them fighting each other. If it's some blacks attacking white folks, I might hop into one of my Latino accounts and talk about how it's funny that the blacks are attacking the whites while us Latinos take over. Viva la raza. Stupid blacks fighting to get stupid whites. We're going to take over and kick you all out. Silly blacks.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Do all sorts of things like that. Just,
I'll
play whatever angle I can whenever I can. But I never usually go at it head on unless I know for 100% certain it's a reasonable person.
Yes. Well, that's very good, sir. Very, very good. Absolutely, absolutely a pleasure. If you could, please call in again, Alex. Freaking awesome discussion.
Excellent Jared Taylor impersonation. I like it. You could be my brother.
Oh. Oh, well, I hated you at first, but now I'm flattered. Oh.
Very nice, brother. I'm going to put you on mute. We got another caller. I want to squeeze him in before the show ends. He only got about 19 minutes, but absolutely a pleasure, sir. Please call in again.
Thank you.
Not just this show, but other shows as well. And we have the roundtable on Saturday, I'm sure you know.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Bye. A-code 618. You are on the air. You've been holding 10 minutes.
Hey, guys, just listening a little bit. That's pretty funny what you're saying, though, about pretending to be a Jew. That's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant psychological operation. I love that.
Yeah. I was saying that before. It seems like if you're a Jew, you can get away with pretty much anything.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, because they own the place, of course.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts tonight, sir? It's kind of up in the air.
I've been paying attention there, and at least it seems like a lot of people are starting to get pissed off at Israel, you know. But I mean, it seems like they do this every
year. Oh, yeah, I love that. That's brilliant. I think it's fantastic. I think it's fantastic. I personally, I have nothing invested in the Palestinian people, nothing at all. But I will definitely use the Palestinians to bludgeon Israel politically. They bulldoze their homes with them in them. They kill their children. It's just the whole situation is screwed up. Personally, I think we need to get our nose out of Israel, out of the Middle East. We shouldn't be involved there. It's none of our business. Let them kill each other. But Israel, of course, being the busybody little bitch of a postage stamp of a shithole of a little place it is, I really don't want to call it a nation or country. I call it an occupied territory. They want to drag everyone else into their problems. The Jews on a personal level, when they're outside of Israel, they want to stick their nose in everyone else's business. But when they're in Israel, they want everyone else just to be involved with their business as it relates to Israel. So I think that's nonsense. If I had a son or sons and they were in the military, I would not have them fight and die for some foreign power, especially Israel. They're not worth a damn. They're just not worth a damn. The whole thing is just disgusting. And
we give them like billions of dollars every year. You know, so.
Yes, we give them F-16s. Yeah, well, the thing is, we have Americans who are unemployed here, hardworking white Americans, and they're not getting helped overwhelmingly. Yeah. But Israel, we're able to give them billions of dollars a year, yet we have all this debt we're raking up. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous.
Everybody acts like they actually do something for us in return, but I mean, we could take that money and go over there as our own military. You know, like we don't need them. Like, what the hell are they doing for us, or that we couldn't do better ourselves? You know, just
yes.
People always try to act like they're doing some great service for us over there. So, I don't know.
They're not. They're absolutely not. They're a parasite, obviously. No doubt about that. Absolutely a parasite. Parasitical people, parasitical area, occupied zone. Do you have any parting words tonight, sir, as we wrap up?
Not really. Really just a 1488.
Always. Okay. Well, with that, I think we're going to wrap it up tonight. Thank you very much for calling in, sir. It's always a pleasure. Let's see here. What are we gonna do here for the play out here? I think we'll just take some Stradivarius. I think that's appropriate. Stradivarius. All right. So I thank you all for listening. It was a pleasure. Not as productive tonight as I would have hoped, but then again, you know, they can't all be perfect. Even Babe Ruth never bat 1,000. But I thank you all for listening. And please tune in this Saturday for the roundtable. That should be interesting. I know I'll be calling in. If I have the time right now, I'll probably call in. But always remember, always, 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 always remember the 14 words. Cheers. All right, y'all have a good night. Bye.